Hello, and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Church Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. My name is Amy, and I'll be reading for us on this Sunday, June 12th. Happy Resurrection Day. Today we'll be in Numbers chapter 14, and we'll finish the chapter beginning in verse 26, Psalm 17, and 2 Corinthians 9. Let's begin in Numbers 14, starting in verse 26. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron, "How long will this wicked community grumble against me? I have heard the complaints of these grumbling Israelites. So tell them, 'As surely as I live, declares the Lord, I will do to you the very thing I heard you say. In the wilderness your bodies will fall, every one of you 20 years old or more who was counted in the census and who has grumbled against me. Not one of you will enter the land I swore with uplifted hand to make your home, except Caleb, son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, son of Nun. As for your children that you said would be taken as plunder, I will bring them in to enjoy the land you have rejected. But as for you, your bodies will fall in this wilderness. Your children will be shepherds here for 40 years, suffering for your unfaithfulness, until the last of your bodies lies in the wilderness. For 40 years, 1 year for each of the 40 days you explored the land, you will suffer for your sins and know what it is like to have me against you. I, the Lord, have spoken, and I will surely do these things to this whole wicked community which has banded together against me. They will meet their end in this wilderness. Here they will die.' So the men Moses had sent to explore the land, who returned and made the whole community grumble against him by spreading a bad report about it. These men who were responsible for spreading the bad report about the land were struck down and died of a plague before the Lord. Of the men who went to explore the land, only Joshua son of Nun and Caleb son of Jephunneh survived. When Moses reported this to all the Israelites, they mourned bitterly. Early the next morning, they set out for the highest point in the hill country, saying, 'Now we are ready to go up to the land the Lord promised. Surely we have sinned.' But Moses said, 'Why are you disobeying the Lord's command? This will not succeed. Do not go up, because the Lord is not with you. You will be defeated by your enemies, for the Amalekites and the Canaanites will face you there. Because you have turned away from the Lord, he will not be with you, and you will fall by the sword.' Nevertheless, in their presumption, they went up toward the highest point in the hill country, though neither Moses nor the Ark of the Lord's covenant moved from the camp. Then the Amalekites and the Canaanites who lived in that hill country came down and attacked them and beat them down all the way to Hormah." What a sobering end to Numbers 14. We are reminded here that only Joshua and Caleb and the children who are younger will enter into this land promised to God's people. And for 40 years, 1 year for each day that they explored the land, the people will wander in the wilderness. And it seems like such a harsh judgment, but if you think about their sin and that for so long God had been promising them this land, and time again they have refused to believe what God said is true and have manufactured their own version of the story. And God here is reminding us that His word alone is what stands, and that He is the one who brings success to any of our endeavors. And even it's so striking to me that at the end of all of this, they say, "Well, we'll go up to the land now." And Moses says, "Well, it's too late. It's too late." I at least often want to undo my mistakes, but I'm just reminded here that there is a penalty for sin, and we have to face the consequences for our actions. But there is this great hope that God did not abandon His people at this point. He continued with them and was faithful to provide even in the wilderness, and He brought their children into the land. And ultimately, I'm reminded of how Christ is this picture of God's mercy and grace and forgiveness for us, that when we have sinned, ultimately Christ has bore the punishment for our sin on our behalf. And because of him, we can have life and hope for today and for tomorrow. Today's reading from the book of Psalms is from Psalm 17, a prayer of David. Hear me, O Lord, my plea is just. Listen to my cry. Hear my prayer. It does not rise from deceitful lips. Let my vindication come from you. May your eyes see what is right. Though you probe my heart, though you examine me at night and test me, you will find that I have planned no evil. My mouth has not transgressed. Though people tried to bribe me, I have kept myself from the ways of the violent, through what your lips have commanded. My steps have held to your paths. My feet have not stumbled. I call on you, my God, for you will answer me. Turn your ear to me and hear my prayer. Show me the wonders of your great love. You who save by your right hand, those who take refuge in you from their foes. Keep me as the apple of your eye. Hide me in the shadow of your wings, from the wicked who are out to destroy me, from my mortal enemies who surround me. They close up their callous hearts, and their mouths speak with arrogance. They have tracked me down. They now surround me, with eyes alert to throw me to the ground. They are like a lion hungry for prey, like a fierce lion crouching in cover. Rise up, Lord, confront them, bring them down. With your sword, rescue me from the wicked. By your hand, save me from such a people, Lord, from those of this world whose reward is in this life. May what you have stored up for the wicked fill their bellies. May their children gorge themselves on it, and may there be leftovers for their little ones. As for me, I will be vindicated and will see your face. When I awake, I will be satisfied with seeing your likeness. What a good prayer for us today, that we might be people whose lips are full of truth and not deceit. And I think back even to the account of the Israelites in Numbers 14. And that the Lord, a prayer that he would keep us and hide us in the shadow of his wings, and that he would be quick to answer injustice, that we would trust that God vindicates and that evil will not have the last word, and that ultimately all the wrongs in this world will be made right when we see his face, which is what David says in verse 15. As for me, I will be vindicated and I will see your face. We pray that that would encourage us today as we are waiting and whatever suffering we are facing, that we will see the Lord one day and our faith will be made sight. Today's New Testament reading comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 9, and we'll read the whole chapter today as Paul continues talking about this idea of stewardship and generous giving. Paul writes these words beginning in verse 1. There is no need for me to write to you about the service to the Lord's people, for I know your eagerness to help, and I have been boasting about it to the Macedonians, telling them that since last year you and Achaia were ready to give, and your enthusiasm has stirred most of them to action. But I am sending the brothers in order that our boasting about you in this matter should not prove hollow, but that you may be ready as I said you would be. For if any Macedonians come with me and find you unprepared, we, not to say anything about you, would be ashamed of having been so confident. So I thought it necessary to urge the brothers to visit you in advance and finish the arrangements for the generous gift you had promised. Then it will be ready as a generous gift, not as one begrudgingly given. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, they have freely scattered their gifts to the poor. Their righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion, and through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of the Lord's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Because of the service by which you have proved yourselves, others will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. And in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace God has given you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. I think about 2 Corinthians 9, and in some ways to me it's a really helpful antidote to what's called the prosperity gospel, this idea that if I give my gifts to the church or some minister or some preacher, then God's going to bless me, and the more I give, the more I'm going to be blessed. And often these are blessings that are seen financial provisions, or perhaps it's God's going to heal someone of a sickness or heal some kind of relational conflict. And this is difficult because sometimes people give and perhaps you aren't healed of whatever sickness you're suffering from. It's not a one-for-one correlation. God isn't a God who works like a candy ball machine where we put a quarter in and then we get something out. We give something to God and he gives something to us. No, Paul here has this much grander vision of generosity, and that God is going to give to us so that we might give his gifts back to him to make ministry possible. And even here at the end of the chapter, Paul talks about how the reward of giving is not that you and I might be blessed with financial gifts. Perhaps we will be. Perhaps how the Lord might work. But that the reward of giving ultimately is seeing others come to faith and seeing others come to know the Lord more deeply and seeing the gospel be made known in word and deed in our communities and in our state and even to the ends of the earth. So I just want to encourage us today as we go to worship and as we think about worship, part of our worship is giving and asking that the Lord would give me a heart that is cheerful and that is ready to give and is not giving expecting something back from him in return, but is giving recognizing that everything I have is a gift from him ultimately. Will you pray with me? Lord, we are grateful that you model what it means to give sacrificially to us. And as we think back to our reading today, even in Numbers, how you are kind and you are merciful and you are gracious even when your children have sinned. We think about your provision. We ask that that would move our hearts and that it would impact the ways that we worship and the ways that we serve and the ways that we love people, that we would not give as people who are operating out of scarcity, that there's not enough of my time or my resources or my money or my energy, but that in all things we would see that you are a provider and that everything we have comes from you. Help us to trust you with that, Lord. And we pray that you would bless the work of our hands, that you would bless our gifts, that others might come to faith in you through our obedience. We pray this in your name. Amen.